Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Silence is violence. Silence is violence. Silence is violence. Silence is violence. Four more years. Four more years. Four more years. Four more years. Lock her up. Lock her up. Build a wall. Build a wall. Build a wall. Build a wall. I hate you. I hate you too. Ah! 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 Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, why is it that society is so polarised at late? Why is it that society seems to have divided into two camps, two fundamental camps of extreme left and extreme right, whatever, who hate each other, who despise each other, who can't get along at all? What are the causes of this? Well, there are many people that have speculated on sort of sociological causes for this, but what interests me is the genetic causes of this. Is there a genetic reason why society appears to be coming apart and why we are so polarised at the moment? And there may well be, because the heritability of political orientation is between about 0.4 and 0.6, so it's highly heritable. So what is going on? Why is it that society is so polarised at the moment? Well, there's a very interesting paper on this subject called Political Attitudes and Fertility by Feedman and Huber, and that's what I want to look at today. And what they basically argue is this. Based on a number of different studies, based on bringing together the World Values Survey, based on bringing together various other studies, what they find is that the middle, for a number of generations now, the middle is hollowed out. What predicts breeding is being extremely right-wing. Those that are extremely conservative, who are essentially far right, and also who are extremely religious, although this relationship exists even if you control for religiousness, but those that are on the political far right, those have the most children. And overall, there is a weak relationship between being right-wing and having the most children. So right-wing people are having the outbreeding left-wing people, and religious people are outbreeding non-religious people. However, the shape of the curve is not simply like this. It's not simply a line that goes up like this. The shape of the curve is more like a tick. And so what's happening is that although the people on the far right are having the most children, the people who identify as extremely left-wing are coming second. So the two points that predict having the most children are first, being extremely right-wing, that predicts having the most children. Being extremely left-wing predicts having the second highest number of children. And the middle is being hollowed out. Now, what that would, of course, lead to over a number of generations would be society becoming concomitantly both more right-wing and also more left-wing, becoming more extreme. And the middle would be hollowed out. They wouldn't breed. That the people that have the fewest children are those that are centre-left. And consequently, you would end up in a situation where, at the genetic level, the society would become increasingly right-wing across time, but it would be the far right and the far left, these two extremes that would dominate genetically, and therefore society would be pushed towards the extremes, there'd be nothing in the middle, and there'd be the kind of conflict and polarisation that we have today. Now, this doesn't seem to make a great deal of sense in the sense that clearly society is becoming more left-wing. You could argue society is becoming more liberal, more left-wing across time. So what exactly is going on? Well, what I would suggest is this. There has been a process which has pushed society in an anti-traditional, anti-Darwinian, anti-right-wing, essentially, direction at the environmental level. So what this has left you with is people at the who are resistant to, and this process that's done this at the environmental level has encouraged people, along with their liberal values, to not have children, to not be ethnocentric, in particular, to not have children. And so what you're left with are these people who are highly environmentally sensitive. They don't have children. And so what you're left with is those that are inclined to have children, basically for genetic reasons. Those who engage in their political viewpoint, those who have the views they have for highly genetic reasons, those who are not particularly easily influenced by the environment. And there are two kinds of people that you're going to have in that regard. The one is what we call K strategists, that is to say people
We're all on a spectrum between R and K. A fast life history strategy, live fast, die young, unstable ecology, pass on your genes as fast as possible, have lots of children, have lots of sex, don't invest anything in the offspring. In this kind of ecology that we have, those kinds of people, they hate investing in the offspring. They don't really want children. And of course, they can use contraception and things to avoid children, so they avoid having children. And so those people basically don't pass on their genes in modern ecologies. And we know that what is passing on their genes is what's called K strategists. That is people that invest not in sex, but in nurture. They are evolved to a stable, harsh ecology. A stable, harsh ecology means that you're competing, means that you reach the carrying capacity for the species of that ecology. You're competing against other people in that ecology. The way you do that, the way you win, is to invest a great deal in a small number of offspring to ensure that a few of them survive this competition and win. And though you are therefore not inclined to have lots of sex, you're inclined to invest in your offspring, to invest energy in your offspring. Now, that's a K strategist, and those people are breeding, and those people tend to be left-wing. People who are K strategists overall tend to be low in ethnocentrism, negative ethnocentrism. They tend to be open to foreigners, they tend to be open to immigration, they tend to have broadly left-wing views. Those are K strategists. So those people are breeding. At the other extreme, the people that are breeding, those people with K strategists are genetically K strategists. They're resistant to environmental pressures. At the other extreme, there are those who are religious and those who are right-wing and those that basically have the values that would have been adaptive under Darwinian conditions for genetic reasons. And those people are also breeding. And so consequently, what you're left out with is a hollowing out of the middle. Those in the middle are those that have imbibed this ideology which has said that you should, you know, that a woman should dedicate all of her 20s and most of her 30s to her career, that it's good not to have children, that antinatalism is good, that you shouldn't have children and whatever. So those people are the people that are being pushed by environmental factors in a left-wing direction, and those people tend not to have children. And so consequently, what you're left with is two groups of people that have children, both of whom are resistant to environmental pressures, to interference with the nature of the environment. One, the left, and one, the right. But the right specifically have a worldview which promotes natalism, which promotes having lots of children, and which is the view that was evolved for under centuries of the harsh Darwinian conditions. Consequently, the right are more genetically healthy. There is very little element on the far right or the religious right which is going to be genetically unhealthy, and therefore they're going to be more likely to have children because they're more genetically healthy and they have more evolutionarily adaptive ideas. And consequently, you have a situation where you have this tick shape. The far right have the most children, followed by the far left, because the far left are genetic K strategists, and the middle is hollowed out and aren't passing on their genes. And what this would lead to after a number of generations is a polarisation of society, and that's what we're seeing now. Now, let me go into a little bit more detail about precisely what has happened. How have we got to this stage? Well, as I have looked at in a number of videos, although it's particularly germane to this, until about 1800, we were under conditions of harsh Darwinian selection. And what that meant was that every generation was that there was a removal every generation of those that were not ideally genetically healthy. We were under harsh Darwinian selection. Child mortality rate was 50%. About 40% of those that survived childhood did not pass on their genes because they didn't get married or all their children died before them or whatever. And so basically, only 10% of the population actually properly passed on their genes. And these were the fittest 10% of the population. These were strongly adapted to the ecology. These were genetically fit. So what they were dying of was childhood diseases. That's what they were dying of. Childhood diseases, things like that. Why were they dying of childhood diseases? Because they had high mutational load. Mutations can be good, of course, but mutations are almost always bad because we're strongly adapted to our ecology. High mutational load means you have a poor immune system. You're more likely to die of measles or whatever other childhood disease there is, and so we end up with 50% child mortality. With the Industrial Revolution and the rise of better medicine, better inoculations, better food, better health, more healthier conditions, child mortality has collapsed from 50% to 1%. So this has meant that there's a huge rise in mutations. People have become much more mutated. People have much more mutational load. And consistent with this, we see secular rises in genetic physical illnesses. But we also see secular rises in partly genetic mental illnesses, things such as depression and schizophrenia and whatever. And so therefore what we're getting is a more genetically sick society. But what does this mean? Well, it means that the kind of people who would have died under Darwinian conditions, who wouldn't exist, do exist now, and have propagated their genes and have passed on their genes. Now, those people would be physically maladapted. They would be physically ill. They would have high bodily mutational load. And people that have high bodily mutational load will also have high mental mutational load, because the brain is approximately 84% of the genome. So it's a huge target for mutation. And so this means that if you have problems, genetic problems, mutational load of the body, you will definitely have it of the mind. And so what you would expect to see is, and this is indeed the case, is that things like depression, schizophrenia, autism, and other markers of mutational load in the brain, of high mutation in the brain, correlate with markers of mutational load in the body. And indeed, there is evidence that that people who are more religious, for example, which is highly genetic, as we'll look at in a minute, are also physically better looking. What is being physically good looking? Well, it's having a symmetrical face and certain features of the face which are considered attractive. The ability to maintain a symmetrical phenotype in the face of disease means you have a good immune system, because you can fight off the disease and therefore maintain a symmetrical phenotype. And therefore, people that are physically unattractive will tend to have high mutational load of the body. And if they have high mutational load of the body, they will likely have high mutational load of the mind. And so this is what's happening. So you get this rise in these people who are going to be maladapted of the body, and high mutational load of the body, and also have high mutational load of the mind. Now, what does high mutational load of the mind mean? Well, we have to look at what we were selecting for under Darwinian conditions. What was being selected for? Well, one of the key things that was being selected for was religiousness. It's quite a traditional religiousness. A traditional religiousness is associated with being right, in modern times, with being right-wing, and indeed with being extremely right-wing. Now, there is good evidence for the idea that religiousness is an adaptation. Why is religiousness an adaptation? Well, it's about 0.4 genetic. It correlates with fertility. It's found in all cultures. There are specific parts of the brain that seem to be associated with it, that seem to light up with regard to religiousness. It promotes pro-social behaviour, which would have been selected for under Darwinian conditions. There is evidence that it promotes group selection. So you can pass on your genes directly through having children, indirectly through kin selection, looking after your nieces and nephews. But the ethnic group, is an extended genotype. So it's basically just an extended genetic family. Research by Frank Salter has shown this to be the case. And so one way you can pass on your genes is by investing in your group. And computer models have shown that the group that is high in positive ethnocentrism, that is internal cooperation, which would be promoted by religious values of cooperation and love and so on, and negative ethnocentrism, that is to say the group which would repel the outside and which would be promoted by religious conceptions of heresy and the infidel and whatever, that's the one that in computer models wins the battle for group selection every time. And it's been shown that being religious is associated with being possibly and negatively ethnocentric. And indeed, there's a part of the brain called something like the anterior frontal cortex, which is, if that is stimulated, you become both more religious and more ethnocentric. So you can see that religiousness, and also, of course, religiousness is associated with health, it's associated with physical health, at the genetic physical health, and at the genetic level, mental health. Now, why would this be? Why would these things be the case? Well, it's because we've been selecting for physical health, we've been selecting for mental health, and therefore we've been selecting for religiousness. And therefore, these things become pleiotropically related. These things become bundled together. They become selected for together. And so you can see that that's what we were selecting for under Darwinian conditions. And what that would mean, and I've looked at this in my paper, The Mutant Says in His Heart, There Is No God, is that in modern times, the religious and also the right wing would be a remnant normal population, a remnant genetically healthy population who would want to do genetically healthy things and would have genetically healthy adaptive ideas, such as religiousness and such as being right wing. Now, why is being right wing or being a nationalist, why is that genetically healthy? Well, it's promote genetically healthy. Well, it's promoting your genetic interests. It tends to promote that you should have children. It tends to promote that you should be group selected, that you should be positively and negatively ethnocentric, which, as we've seen, is something which ensures that you win the battle of group selection under Darwinian conditions in computer models. It tends to promote the idea that, that life has meaning and you are of eternal significance and all this. And so it crosses over strongly with religiousness. And so basically being on the far right can be understood to be the evolutionary norm. And so people that are, for genetic reasons, of that kind of inclination are going to be fertile. They're going to want to have children because wanting to have children will have been selected for under Darwinian conditions. The desire, the strong desire to want to have children and pass on your genes is obviously going to be adaptive. It's going to be selected for and it's going to go together with other things which have been selected for and are highly adaptive and are highly genetic, such as religiousness and such as nationalism and such as looking after your group interests. And so those people are going to want to pass on their genes very, very strongly because those are the remnant normal population. You're going to get this to a lesser extent among the people that are identified as the far left. The people that are the far left, what are they? They are K strategists, generalised K, generalised investment, generalised love, generalised wanting to look after people. That's what they have. And they have that probably for genetic reasons as well. It's highly generalised. And so consequently, they want to have children. But they also have all kinds of... They're not precisely the same people that would have survived under Darwinian conditions. They have all kinds of other ideas about how you shouldn't be group selected and how it's bad to look after the interests of your ethnic group and whatever. And so they're going to have all kinds of other problems that are going to go with being not precisely adapted to a Darwinian conditions. Illnesses, problems like this, you know, high mutational load. And so consequently, you would expect them to be less fertile than those on the extreme right. And that is what you see. And then finally, you get those that are in the middle. Now, what's happened to those in the middle? Well, as we've seen this, as I just discussed earlier, this rise in mutational load, what you get is a concept which my colleague Michael Woodley of Mani has referred to as spiteful mutants. So we are a highly social species. We are a eusocial species, rather like bees. And we are evolved to be with people who are genetically normal, who are genetically fit, who are genetically healthy. And we have created a society where we're highly environmentally sensitive. And it's good in many ways, if you are a K strategist species, to be highly environmentally sensitive. It means you're more likely to survive. It means if you just act entirely on genetics, entirely on instinct and things that are an evolutionary sort of adaptations of the mind, then if something changes, then you won't be able to change and you won't be able to find a new niche and you won't be able to survive and you will be wiped out. Simple as that. If you take a group of bees that are highly adapted to the ecology that they're in, you stick them somewhere that's far too cold, they'll just die. They won't be able to adapt to it. And that's the same with us. So the brilliance of humans is that we can adapt to all these different things. And this means we are extremely environmentally sensitive, and thus we are extremely sensitive to the kind of people we are around. So if we are with genetically normal people, then what they will do is they will set up a society which optimally promotes our genetic interests and optimally ensures we pass on our genes. And that's what we had under Darwinian conditions. So, for example, we had a society that was a religious society, and what that religion preached was that you should pass on your genes, you should have children, you should be highly group selected, you should be highly pro-social, you should cooperate, you should repel the outsider. It basically made evolutionarily adaptive stuff the will of God, such that it would be most likely to be engaged in, and such that people were more likely to pass on, that the group was more likely to triumph and win the battles with other groups, and more likely to pass on their genes. It told you that God's on your side, your life has eternal significance, all this kind of thing. I was to try and persuade you to engage in group-selected behaviour and to make you think that life has a point and therefore you should have children for the glory of God. That's what it did. So we were highly environmentally sensitive, and because we were so genetically healthy, we were only creating an environment which was optimally elevating our genetic interests, which was a healthy environment, and so consequently everybody was fine. Now, once this Darwinian selection starts to degenerate, you get more and more people with this high mutational load who have mutations of the body and therefore mutations of the mind. And those people are going to affect even non-carriers, even non-mutants, or people that aren't particularly mutated, to do maladaptive things, because they're going to interfere with the optimal environment that has been created under Darwinian conditions. These are spiteful mutants. An example of this is people that suffer from depression. This is highly genetic. Levels of it are increasing. It's been found that if you are normal, you don't have depression, you're fine. But if you spend a lot of time with someone who has depression, then it can make you have depression. So depression can spread through a population. Now, similarly, if these spiteful mutants get, what they will do is they will get into positions of power, into positions of authority, and they will subvert the evolutionarily adaptive things that society is based around, such as a religion which preaches ethnocentrism and whatever. And they will completely alter this such that it is maladaptive. And they will, so it's the opposite. So it's bad to have children. It's bad to look after your group interests. It's life has no meaning and is pointless, and many other things which they promote as being the truth. They literally promote things which are maladaptive as being good. Fair is foul and foul is fair, in the words of Shakespeare. That's what they've done. They've turned, they are these spiteful mutants that wouldn't have survived under normal conditions. They have maladaptive minds, mutations of the mind, which make them think in maladaptive ways, which make them want maladaptive things. Basically, they have a death wish. They have a death wish for themselves. They say you shouldn't have children and you shouldn't look after your group interests and all this sort of thing, and you should allow your society to be overrun by foreigners and all this sort of thing. They have a death wish for themselves, and they have a death wish for their entire genetic interests, and this includes their entire ethnic group. And consequently, they push their ethnic group in an increasingly maladaptive direction. Now, it is those who are in the middle, those who are environmentally sensitive, who will be able to be pushed in this direction. It is women who are environmentally sensitive, who, these things are all heritable, political traits, whatever, religion, they're all highly heritable, but they vary in their heritability. And some people are going to be very, very religious for genetic reasons. Some people are going to be very, very religious simply because they're in a particular environment which is making them very religious, such as one that's high in stress and mortality salience. And when they're taken out of that environment, they won't be religious anymore. So you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be like that. Probably most people are going to be highly environmentally sensitive. And so those people can be inculcated with maladaptive ways of thinking. Ways of thinking which say, liberal ways of thinking basically, don't have children, don't fight for your genetic interests, whatever, don't pass on your genes. And so consequently you're going to get a situation where being moderately left-wing is going to be the most maladaptive thing you can be, because you're going to be environmentally sensitive, you're going to be inculcated with these ideas that you shouldn't have children, and therefore you won't pass on your genes. Being moderately right-wing will also, you'll be also be open to being inculcated with these ideas, but to a lesser extent than if you're moderately left-wing, because if you're moderately left-wing, you're even more maladaptive, you're even more prone to these maladaptive ideas. Being extremely left-wing, you would think it would mean, you're going to be very, very maladaptive, because of course your pronounced form of the ideology. But that's not necessarily the case, because those people are also going to be extreme K strategists, extremely prone to generalise, loving everybody, whatever, multiculturalism, bringing everybody in, loving everybody. And if that's for genetic reasons, then they will be resistant to the spiteful mutants, the spiteful mutants, by the way, will tend not to have children themselves, but they will churn up every generation because of the high mutational load. They'll always manifest every generation. But those people on the far, very far left will be resistant to that, because they will be very far left for genetic reasons, and they will have this generalised empathy for genetic reasons. And this will correlate with having a generalised desire to invest in people and therefore to have children, to invest your energy in others. And so therefore they pass on their genes, and at the other extreme you get the genetically normal people, the people that were adapted to Darwinian conditions. They are going to pass on their genes, but they're going to have no or very little in the way of maladaptive traits, because what they're doing is so adaptive, is so a remnant normal population, and consequently they will pass on their genes to the greatest extent. And so that's what we're seeing. And so what this would bring about is a total polarization of the society. But what it would also mean is the society would be pushed in a left-wing direction by these spiteful mutants pushing it in a left-wing direction. What at the environmental level, while at the genetic level, it would be splitting between an extreme left and to a greater extent an extreme right, and would at the in genetic level be moving in a more right-wing direction. Eventually, you predict that some sort of tipping point would be reached where it would start to flip once again into a more traditionalist right-wing direction. Now, when that happens, I don't know, but that is what you would predict would occur. Okay, well, I hope this has been of interest and has made sense of the genetic reasons why society is polarising and coming apart. If you've enjoyed it, then you will see various ways that you can help support this channel below. One of them is to send offline super chats. Other is to send through Entropy. Others is simply just to send if you would like to make donations through Entropy. Again, not when I'm online, you can do that. We live stream on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. You won't be notified about this because YouTube is suppressing the channel. Please subscribe to the channel and resubscribe if you've already subscribed, because you've probably been unsubscribed. I will see you soon, and goodbye.